Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been going through a series of programs where I've been talking to you about the 7 annual appointments God has made with you. And the first appointment we talked about was Passover. Now we're talking about the days of unleavened bread. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20, we see where God introduces the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Israelites. And God says 7 specific things in those verses that are intended to teach us, God's children today, tremendous spiritual lessons. And the first 2 things that we've already covered in previous programs was, number 1, that for 7 days, unleavened bread was to be eaten. The 7 days represents perfection and completion, because 7 is a number of completion and perfection. We saw that in the 7 days of creation, and also, as we're talking about now, the 7 feasts of the Lord is found in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. And of course, the 7 days of creation are found in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Also, the fact that during the days of unleavened bread was to be eaten. And the unleavened part of the bread is symbolic of the bread not being fermented with yeast. So therefore, it's not puffed up. And this puffing up of the bread is symbolic of sin. So the fact that it is absent of sin, meaning that it is unleavened, not leavened, shows that this bread was the perfect, sinless bread of life, Jesus the Christ. So in eating this unleavened bread for 7 days, it teaches us that we are to put in Jesus Christ into our lives. We are to eat of Jesus's flesh, so to speak, as he talked to the disciples about during the last Passover supper. And Jesus again said that he is the bread of life, and that if we ate of him, we would never die, but live eternally. So that has great and significant meaning. Also, the second part was that leavening was supposed to be eliminated from the homes of the Israelites prior to the first day and kept out during the 7 days of the feast. The fact that it was eliminated prior to the first day again shows that sin is supposed to be removed from our lives before Jesus Christ can come into our lives. And during the 7 days, they were supposed to keep sin out. So once you have Jesus in, you're not to let sin back in. You're supposed to continually feast off of the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Now let's get to the third clue that God gives us in Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. Here it states that anyone who ate leavening during the 7 days of unleavened bread was to die. So what is the meaning there for Christians? The meaning should be very clear. Eating the leavened bread, symbolizes that we are rejecting the Messiah and returning to a sinful way of life. And God gives us a stern, this is probably one of the most stern warnings in all of the Bible. God gives us a stern warning about eating this leavened bread. And this is in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 26 through 39. This is Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Here it says, "If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin." So this is saying that if we have removed leavening out of our homes, and then we go back to putting leavening in our homes, that's foolishness. That's like after we have repented of our sins, received forgiveness of our sins, represented by the Passover, and we've had all of our sins forgiven, moved out of our home, so to speak, our tabernacle in which God dwells. If we turn back to sin, that's like eating this leavened bread all over again. That's foolishness. And God says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But instead, there's a certain fearful and looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has trampled upon the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. He has considered it an unholy thing, and has rejected the Spirit of grace. For we know that the Lord has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, I shall have no pleasure in him. Please do not draw back and bring yourself into destruction. That is a very stern warning. So that's why, if they were to eat leavened bread during the 7 days of unleavened bread, that's why they had to die, because it represents them rejecting Christ, rejecting the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, rejecting the only power by which they can eliminate sin from their lives. And instead, they've rejected the Messiah, and they take in sin upon themselves. In effect, they welcome Satan into their lives to rule them, because there is only one God, and it's either going to be God the Father and Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's going to be Satan the devil. That's the tremendous lesson in that third point there. And now let's talk specifically about some of the type of leavening that we should keep out of our lives. The first one I want to talk about is self-righteous judgment. This is where we are judging others without judging ourselves first. In other words, we are judging according to our own standards instead of God's standards. It's okay to judge. A lot of people make the mistake in thinking that we should not go around judging anything, but that's not what the Bible says. I know a lot of people, they think that they're full of love, and they say, oh, we shouldn't judge people, or who are you to condemn somebody else? Well, judging is not the same thing as condemning. That's true. Only God can condemn, but we can judge as long as we're judging God's righteous judgment. And we have proof of that in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 1 through 5. This is Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 1 through 5. This is the first part where people get stuck, where it just says, judge not that you be not judged. And that's where they leave it off. And they say, see, you're not supposed to judge anybody. But God is talking about the self-righteous type of judgment that has to be cast out of our lives. That's a type of leavening. And let's read more of the story, though, and we'll see that we are supposed to judge, but just not self-righteous judgment, our own standards, but God's standard of judgment. Continuing on in that verse, for with whatever judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with whatever measure you mete out, it shall be measured to you again. How can you say to your brother, this is the self-righteous part, how can you say to your brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, when there is a big old beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam from your own eye, and then you can see clearly enough to pull the mote out of your brother's eye. Did you see that part, though? It says that after you get the big old beam out of your own eye, then you can see clearly enough to pull the mote out of your brother's eye, because then you are judging your brother out of love and not condemnation. Because if you truly love somebody, you're going to want to tell them if they're doing something wrong so that you can help them to avoid the consequences of their wrong thoughts or actions. That's when it's not self-righteous, because you're not trying to puff yourself up and put them down. Now it's out of love. And God judges us, doesn't he? Yes, he does, and he does it out of love. Now let's read in John chapter 7, verse 24. This is John chapter 7, verse 24. Here God says, judge not according to appearance. Again, some people stop there, but that's not all of the story. The rest of the story is, but judge righteous judgment. So there you have it. We can judge, but it has to be righteous judgment, not self-righteous judgment. And righteous judgment is the judgment of God, because God is the only one who is truly righteous. So if we speak his words, then we will judge righteously. If we speak our own words, we will be speaking self-righteous. And that's the type of sin that has to be removed from our lives. That's one type of leavening. Now let's go on to another type of leavening that we should remove from our lives. This is malice, and you probably know the word malicious. Malice and maliciousness is the same thing. And this means having an ill will towards someone, the desire to hurt someone without just cause. In Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, it says, "When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of this maliciousness, and pray that God will forgive the thought of your heart. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity.'" And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking and malice be put away from you. Instead, you should be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." So the malice, the evil intent, the desire to hurt someone, this is the type of sin, the type of leavening that we have to get out of our lives. And then there's a third one, is an unforgiving spirit. And an unforgiving spirit is a heart that is not willing to cancel a debt someone owes us. God sent His Son to die for us so that our sin could be atoned for completely. And God wants us to imitate Him and cultivate the forgiving spirit. When Jesus gave His disciples the pattern of prayer, one of the highlights was, "Forgive us of our debts," which are our sins, "as we forgive our debtors." And Jesus also gave a parable about a man with an unforgiving heart, and that's in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. "Then came Peter to Jesus and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Is it 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'No, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king, taking account of his servants. When one was brought to him that owed 10,000 talents but couldn't pay, the king commanded that that servant and his wife and children and all that he had be sold so that the payment could be made. The servant begged the king to have patience with him, promising to pay the entire debt. Then the king was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his co-workers, which owed him 100 pence, and he took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' And his co-worker begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' But he would not. Instead, he cast his co-worker into prison until the debt was paid off. So when witnesses saw what was done, they were very upset and told the king. Then the king called the wicked servant, saying, 'I forgave you all that debt, because you begged me. Shouldn't you have also had compassion on your co-worker?' And the king was very angry and delivered the wicked servant to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you if you from your heart do not forgive every one of your brothers." Again, that's also a very, very stern warning. So we've seen 3 types of leavening that we need to put out of our lives and keep out of our lives. And this is what the 7 days of unleavened bread is all about. It's eating the unleavened bread, taking that in, which represents Christ, and keeping the leavened bread, which represents sin, out of our lives.